What's going on, Eagles Nation? Welcome in to the Locked On Eagles podcast here on this Wednesday evening, June 13th edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. My name is Louis DiBiase, at DiBiase, L-O-E on Twitter. Excited to get to you today on this Wednesday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, 5 days a week. Today we got some interesting stuff on the show. We're going to have Nick Fierro join us of the Allentown Morning Call in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. He's been down at the NovaCare Complex all spring and summer long for OTAs and now mini camp. So we're going to get his takeaways from what we've seen so far in the spring and what we should expect for training camp coming up. We're going to talk about the loaded cornerback position, offensive line. Could this Eagles offensive weaponry potentially be the best of all time in Eagles history? We'll get to all that and more, so very excited to get to him. If you missed any of our recent shows, you can always subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you find your podcast, and of course always on LockedOnEagles.com, where we've posted our recent shows. Yesterday I recapped the press conferences from all the Eagles positional coaches who spoke with the media on Monday, and then we talked about Doug Peterson's press conference yesterday, which there were some really interesting takeaways from that. So if you want to check that out, those are all available on our feed. Defended Terrell Owens against the Pro Football Hall of Fame on Sunday. So we got a wide variety of shows and topics that we bring you every single day here in the Locked On Podcast Network. And I wrote my first article on LockedOnEagles.com yesterday. It's the 2018 Eagles Depth Chart Projections Mini Camp Edition. So I went through the entire roster, made cuts, made up the starting lineup. I got it down to the 53-man roster, and we're going to see what 53 players are going to try to defend the Eagles Super Bowl championship. So without further ado, let's get to the interview with Nick Fierro. Again, the Eagles beat writer of the Allentown Morning Call. Let's get to that, and we'll wrap up the show with the poll of the day. All right, so joining us now on the Locked On Eagles podcast, he is the Eagles beat writer for the Allentown Morning Call. It's Nick Fierro. Obviously, the Eagles started up minicamp this week, and I want to start with Carson Wentz, obviously. You know, he's the talk of the town, even though Nick Foles won us a Super Bowl. You know, Eagles fans have seen the videos. You and other media members have tweeted out with him looking great. The Eagles are still, you know, they're trying to be slow and patient with it, but just how far along does he look 6 months into rehabbing the injury? Because from what it looks like in the video, if you didn't know he was injured, you probably wouldn't have been, wouldn't be able to really even tell.
Right. He looks way different than, say, Sam Bradford did a couple of years ago when he was trying to come back from a similar injury. Of course, he had had a bunch of them in the same knee, and two to the same knee and one to the other. But it's a different situation with Carson. He's very mobile. He's working today. He was working a lot off to the side on his passing, on his running, throwing while he was on the run, to his left, to his right, off balance throws. And he was really getting it done, I thought, today. If you were just watching him, you would think he'd be cleared to at least practice with the team, you know, even in pads, if they had pads on, which they don't. And he's going to get the preseason game experience. That's providing there's no setback.
Are there any throws or specific leg movements that maybe seem more limited because of the injury than others? Based on what I saw, you know, a few weeks ago, maybe in the longer strides, you can notice a limp here and there, but is there any specific things maybe still he's not at 100% doing?
No, not really. I mean, there are some times where he throws some off-balance throws. I mean, maybe just reading into too many things. There's times when he throws off-balance when he doesn't need to. I don't know if that's because of his knee or just because, you know, sometimes mechanics aren't 100% on the time. And, but, you know, and then when he runs sometimes, you can see where he's not, you know, totally fluid, 100% fluid. He's running really hard on it. And, you know, he just hasn't gone through the full thing yet. And he looks pretty good so far doing that.
The OTAs are over, with minicamp officially underway. Who are some of the names that have really stuck out to you with their performance, and have there been any surprises? So obviously Carson Wentz, he looks pretty good. He's obviously a name that you would probably mention, but are there some surprise guys as well that during OTAs and the few first days of minicamp that have really, you know, kind of made you wonder if this guy could make an impact on the roster, or someone that's already had a lasting impact on the Eagles?
But Nate Sudfeld looks like he's a player and got a world-class arm. And I think he's continuing to develop, a big guy, too, 6'6", 230. Looks like a linebacker. Officially, he looks just like Foles. They're the same height, and they, you know, sometimes you can't even tell them apart. You have to do a double take. So it's weird. Just going right on down the line, I think that wide receivers, the Eagles have, to me, the best group of wide receivers top to bottom on the 90-man roster than they've ever had. They have probably 10 guys on this roster right now that deserve jobs in the NFL, and not just like special team jobs, like jobs in the rotation on an offense somewhere. And not everybody's going to make this team, obviously, but pretty much everybody's doing a great job. People kind of forget about Marcus Wheaton, who's a veteran they picked up. But, you know, he might not make the team, but he's doing really well. Marquez Wilson doing very well. Greg Ward, who got hurt the other day, he was on the practice squad last year, converted quarterback from Houston, catches everything. Bryce Treggs, he's been a kind of a part-time player. He was on the active roster, then he was on the practice squad. He probably is the fastest guy on this team, and he's catching everything. And, you know, now he has a little bit of experience here. This is his third camp and, third year in a system somewhere. And so, you know, these guys, you know how to get it done, at least at this stage of the season. And so, you know, we haven't even seen, obviously, Alshon Jeffrey yet. He's still rehabbing from an injury. And also Mike Wallace, who's a guy, well, of course, we expected that from him, a veteran. But he's very fast still, you know, at age 30, 31 he is. And, of course, Nelson Agholor is just continuing to pick up where he left off last year, which was like a breakout season. They have just a bunch of receivers that are really doing a good job. I'm going to skip over the line part because you really can't tell.
Yeah, it's harder without pads.
An offensive line without pads. Yeah, I mean, I wrote a story the other day about their seventh round pick, Jordan Mailata, the Australian rugby player, where his footwork is looking better. But that's just my amateur analysis and. It's hard to say. And if he's even going to make the team this year, it's going to be tough for him to be on the 53-man. I'm sure that they're looking at him for practice squad, but the problem is if they really want to protect him, they can't do that. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. But some of their linebackers, apparently they're, now that Michael Kendricks is gone, he's a power cap casualty. They had gotten Corey Nelson from Denver, from the Broncos. He was one of their free agent pickups. We thought he was going to be the guy. He probably still is the front runner to be that third linebacker. But they pretty much opened it up. And Nate Gary, who's a converted safety that they drafted out of Nebraska last year, he's in the mix there. He's getting first-round reps and looking very good.
Huh. And, looks a lot bigger.
You know, Kamu Gruger-Hill. Yeah, he is. They said he was up to 224. He's listed as 215, anywhere between 215 and 218. He's still not a big back, but he's still a big linebacker, but he's looking more the part, you know, kind of every day. And Kamu Gruger-Hill is another guy who's not really a big linebacker size, but he's getting some reps. Today they actually just put Paul Warlow on the IR. I don't know why they waited until today to do it, but, you know, it's official. He's on the IR. And but then just going to the D-backs, I would say that the biggest standout would be Devontae Bosby, who's kind of bounced around a little bit, kind of a journeyman, still a young guy, still in his mid-20s, early mid-20s. He was on the practice squad last year. He's really just all over the place this year, intercepting passes and making his presence felt. And but they have he's part of a group of about seven or eight guys that are competing for that open spot at the slot. They didn't re-sign him. So, he signed with New Orleans. And Robinson led the team in interceptions last year, and he also led the team in passes defense. So it was a big position for them, the slot corner, because he's on the field 70% of the time.
Right.
Or more. And, you know, they have a bunch of guys that are going for that, including Jalen Mills, who was started on the outside last year, but he could move inside now because Sidney Jones is healthy, or at least we think he's healthy. Yeah, Sidney Jones was the guy they drafted in the second round last year, first round value. and he pulled to the second round because he tore his Achilles in his pro day. So he missed most of last year. But now he's hurt again. It's not the Achilles, according to Doug Peterson. He just said it's a lower body thing, and it's just a precaution. He'll be fully good to go when they open up training camp. But for these last few days, and for all of for the last 2 days of OTAs, and for this mini camp, he's been shut down. He's just kind of watching and off to the side. But assuming he's healthy, he's part of that mix too. He's going to be tried out inside there. That's Sidney Jones. That is Jalen Mills is going to be tried out inside. You know, we've talked about Bosby, DJ Killings, another guy that they had on the practice squad last year, doing very well from what we can see in camp. All these guys. Ronald Darby was the other starter last year. He missed a lot of the year after getting hurt on opening day, as you might recall.
Yep.
And then he came back. He's being looked at inside too, so the whole alignment really is to be determined. But they have no shortage of cornerbacks. Like I just wrote about that today, they have no shortage of cornerbacks. Whereas last year at this time, they were really scrambling just to find one starting quality guy that they felt they needed. That's why they made that trade in training camp just to get Darby.
Are you getting any sense that maybe the Eagles prefer someone in the slot? Is Bosby a serious threat to be a starter inside? I mean, where do you think they're going with it right now? Obviously, it's not even training camp yet, so they haven't really tried out everyone. But who do you think maybe they prefer, or what type of player they want inside? And then maybe who do you think will, you know, who would you put in there if you were Jim Schwartz?
Well, I want to add one more name before I get to that, and
yeah.
That's the kid that they drafted from Pitt, Avante Maddox, and he's a prime candidate too for that slot spot. I really believe that, and this is just me talking, and not from having observed any one player playing better than the other, because really they're all about even at this point. But I think that they could end up having Jalen Mills going in. He's a competitor. They really like him. Everybody likes him. I think he could do just as well inside, if not better. You know, with Sidney Jones taking over that outside spot that Jalen occupied last year, and then he'd be opposite Ronald Darby, and those are your three top corners.
Which isn't a bad situation.
And then who comes in after that, you know, you're developing a guy like Maddox. But you know, again, Bosby could end up being the guy. If he shows, he's going to get the shot. I mean, he's going to get a chance. And one thing the Eagles do, and I don't think winning the Super Bowl last year changes this, is they've always given undrafted guys, guys with supposedly lower pedigree, a fair shot and throughout the years. And I don't think it changes this year. And I think the fact that they kept some of these guys, they brought some of these guys back, well, like Bosby and like DJ Killings, and as far as the tight end goes, they brought back Billy Brown. They have high hopes for him. Who was an undrafted free agent last year, probably would have made the team, except that just the numbers were working against them. They really, you know, these guys are going to get a legitimate shot. They're not just camp bodies. So I want to see how this plays out. They have a lot of talent. I mean, this is a team that's I feel like is loaded. It's the deepest team, you know, with the exception of maybe linebacker that I've seen, you know, since I've been covering. And I started on their last Super Bowl year, 2004.
Wow.
They're pretty well stacked at every position, and not necessarily with you know, all pros, but guys who can play at every position. I would say, you know, a lot of the guys that don't survive these final cuts are going to find jobs with other teams.
Yeah, and a guy we didn't even mention, because you know he really wouldn't fit in the slot, is Rasul Douglas. And you know, we talked on this podcast potentially about moving him to safety, but Corey Unland said that isn't really in the plans right now, but that, you know, he and Douglas said if Douglas needed to, he could play safety. Down the road, if Darby stays, or maybe Mills and Jones, you know, cement themselves on the outside, and a guy that you were talking about developing as the long-term slot guy, Avante Maddox or Bosby, end up inside, you know, heck, you know, maybe even if the depth struggles, say, you know, Trey Sullivan and Jeremy Reeves struggle this year, would they consider moving Douglas at some point to safety this year just because of how many good options they have at corner?
Yeah, they could, because that third safety spot still is kind of up for grabs too, and they don't have a lot of safeties, period, on the roster. They have a bunch of, you know, rookies, undrafted rookies. They're kind of going in there. Guys are kind of unproven. But beyond your starters, McLeod and Malcolm Jenkins, you really don't know what you have there. And because their third safety last year was a good player, too, that they didn't re-sign. He's still out there, by the way, Corey Graham.
Do you think they bring him back?
They could very well end up bringing him back. In fact, some of the coaches have already talked about that it's not out of the realm. So that's also a possibility. But yeah, they could end up doing that. And they could also – and Jalen Mills is another guy that could end up playing safety. I think by the end of his career, he will do that because he's a really good tackler too, and you know, he likes to mix it up. So he's got that. He can definitely go out and play safety. He's got the skill set for that, and he's got the smarts for it too. I mean, he's really good. He's got the green hair, but don't let that fool you, man. He's football smarts. He's right up there.
That's true, and he played safety at LSU. So you know, if I don't know if they're going to keep Darby, but even if not, I mean, they still have Sidney Jones. Long-term, probably on the outside, and if they want to put Douglas there instead, yeah, it could be Mills at safety. It's super interesting, Nick, because, you know, we look back, you've been covering the team since 2004. When was the last time since Sheldon Brown and Lito Shepard that the Eagles have had a good problem at corner where this year where we don't know who's going to play where because we have so many good options, whereas in the past we're like, man, we have Bradley Fletcher, Kerry Williams, and then we recycled through Nolan Carroll and Byron Maxwell, so it's a great problem to have.
Yeah, and it's happened pretty quickly. I mean, like I said, in the period of span of 1 year, they've gone from a position of weakness to a position of strength, and they might end up making a deal, like you said, probably will. I mean, let's not forget, too, they lost Darryl Worley. He was going to be in the mix, too. They ended up releasing him, but after he got arrested and tased. But as it turns out, you know, they're still pretty deep without him.
So sticking on the secondary here, because it's a part I'm very interested in with the Eagles, you mentioned that the coaching staff talked about maybe bringing back Corey Graham. There was a rumor around the social media that the Eagle he did intend to re-sign with the Eagles later on in the summer. No real weight to that at all so far, but so that kind of brings it into the younger safeties right now. You know, Trey Sullivan, who was impressive in the preseason last year, and Jeremy Reeves this year, an undrafted free agent who I really like. I like his aggression. He's a guy that's played in the slot in college, so he's shown versatility, and he got reps with special teams as well today and yesterday. So them potentially talking about Corey Graham, is that reflecting based on how Sullivan and Reeves have looked in mini camps and OTAs right now, or is it just because they're so young at the position that they want to add a veteran?
I think it's because they're just young and they want to add a veteran, because based on the way they've looked, they've had a lot of guys that have done pretty well. But the coaches look at different things than we do. I mean, we see these guys make an interception, we think it's a great play. And, you know, maybe a quarter of the time or half the time, the reason they make the interceptions is because they might have been cheating or out of position in the first place. You know, it doesn't really they're not making points by doing that. And that's just like one example. So these guys are looking at different things than we are, but they move pretty well. They all move pretty well and seem to be alert around the ball all the time. But, you know, they feel like they need Corey Graham back. And the reason he's not on the team now is probably a salary cap thing. They can get him, you know, cheaper, save a few dollars here and there by waiting. But, yeah, there's going to be that fourth safety spot on the 53-man at least. And, of course, Chris Maragos, we haven't talked about him. He's probably going to be the one of them. But, you know, so I don't know how that's going to work out. Maragos is still hurt. He's not he still hasn't been cleared to go. He should be by camp, or at least by the middle of camp. But, you know, that's a position, too, where I don't know that Maragos is necessarily guaranteed. So, you know, yeah, there's a lot of things that are kind of up in the air there. And, again, it's a numbers thing. They have guys. They have a lot of guys that can play. They only have a certain amount of spots open.
Right.
And whoever's, like, yep. Last on that musical chairs, they're gonna land somewhere else.
Do you think that maybe they're holding out on signing Corey Graham because they want to see how Reeves and Sullivan look with the pads on and maybe even into preseason? Because, honestly, Corey Graham played in the defense last year, so, you know, he's an older veteran. You probably don't really need him through the summer, so maybe add him right before the regular season starts. Do you think that's maybe their approach here, is to try to maybe see how these young players play really when the speed picks up and the pads go on?
Yeah, exactly. They're in no hurry to bring him in because, again, they're saving themselves some money here too. And I think that they're probably in touch with his agent, where if they probably trust the agent to tell him, hey, somebody's about to sign this guy, maybe you have to make a move here now. But as long as he's still on that open market and nobody is trying to sign him, I think that they're going to keep him at on hold there, kind of in limbo until they have to make a move and getting toward the end of training camp. And it's probably a combination. They have guys that they feel like they might be able to get the job done at a cheaper cost, and but they still have him as kind of an ace in the hole. But they don't need to bring him in just yet. So, but now they have a roster spot open. They're going to see how they fill this. They by putting Warlow on the IR today, that opens up a spot. Interesting to see what they do tomorrow.
Just a couple more for you, Nick. How's Jason Peters looked? I mean, he's another guy coming off injury. I think the Eagles might have had the most talented IR squad of all time last year with Carson Wentz, Jordan Hicks, Sproles, Maragos, and JP. How has Peters looked throughout the summer? He's 36 years old now. He's going to be the starting left tackle. Is he coming along nicely from that injury? How has he looked?
It's hard to say with him, too, because he's also not cleared to go in team sessions. He goes in the individual drills and a little bit on the 7-on-7, or not on 7-on-6, excuse me, they don't do that. But he doesn't really go in there. He works a lot on stretching. He looks pretty huge, I got to tell you. He doesn't look like he's he's in perfect shape just to the naked eye. But I got to tell you, I mean, Doug Peterson talked about this yesterday, or actually today, and last week it was the same when we talked to the coach. This guy is a different deal. None of the rules apply to Jason Peters. They all still think he's the greatest thing ever, and they swear by him, and the players too. So it doesn't really matter. It's like he can come in and do what he wants, and they still think he's going to be the greatest. It's the same, Jeff Stoutland talking the other day on Monday about him too. They still think he's the greatest no matter what, and they still believe he's going to play all 16 games this year.
I wouldn't doubt it.
But I don't think it's a guarantee. I mean, I don't think it's even a guarantee that he's going to be on the team. I still think he's got a lot to prove here. And, even though they love him, maybe they're in a little bit of a denial, but at some point he's not going to be able to play. And maybe that's this year. I don't know. But I think, at some point they're going to have to cut ties with him, and if he can't get it done in camp this year when they put the pads on, then that's going to be it. I mean, they'll do it in a nice way, like they did with years ago with Trotter when they cut him, kind of unexpectedly during camp. Had a big press release and a press conference and the whole bit, a hero send off. But I think that the end is near for Jason Peters, whether it's this year or next year, it's coming.
You think they do that even with the... I mean, they're pretty thin at tackle right now. I mean, they got Haupolivati Vaitai behind them, and I know they spent a fifth-round pick on Pryor, and they have Maliata, but they're pretty thin. So you think even with that, if he shows that he just lost the explosion, the athleticism he has at left tackle, just the mobility and the movement, that they really would consider cutting him?
Yeah, I do. Although, based on what they're saying, I have second, thoughts about that, but I got to think that at some point they're going to come down to reality if he can't do it. And I'm not sure I'm not saying that he can't.
Right.
But he still has to prove this. This was a devastating injury last year, and it wasn't the first of his career. I mean, back around 2011, he tore his Achilles twice, and he came back pretty strong from that. But he was younger then, obviously, and. Now he's 36. At some point, they're going to have to face reality with him. And again, he could come back and be an all-pro this year. But I haven't seen that part of it yet. As it is, the last 2 years, he can't even play from a three-point stance. He plays in a two-point stance exclusively. Even down at the goal line now, he doesn't get down on a three-point stance. So, I mean, he's just – but he gets it done somehow. He gets it done.
Nick Fierro of the Allentown Morning Call joining us here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Nick, thank you very much for joining us. Where can everyone find your stuff on Twitter?
At Nick Fierro, my name, NickFierro.
Awesome. Thank you very much for joining us, Nick, and hopefully we'll talk to you down the road. It's exciting. You know, I think the hype's even bigger now since the Eagles won the Super Bowl for OTAs and training camp and even mini camp. I think it's an exciting time, and football's in the air with all the other sports being done.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think this team has a chance to be better than last year. Not that they're necessarily going to win the Super Bowl again, but I really do believe that the roster, the shape of the roster, is in really good, in better shape going into this year than it was going into last year.
I agree. Thank you, Nick, for joining us.
Okay, my pleasure.
Great stuff there from Nick Fierro of the Allentown Morning Call in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. Wanted to get a guy on that's been there throughout OTAs and minicamp to get, you know, a first-person look at how the Eagles look so far to kick off the summer. And he made some really interesting points that, you know, I'm going to post on LockedOnEagles.com some big takeaways from this episode, because there was a lot there to unpack. He thinks Jason Peters potentially could get cut despite the Eagles being razor thin at the tackle position. Outside of Big V, they have virtually no starting experience at the tackle position. Matt Pryor is a rookie. Taylor Hart used to be a defensive tackle. Jordan Melodia, the former rugby star that was our seventh-round pick this year, he's still coming along. He's a very raw project. So, but he even said it. If at 36, if Jason Peters can't get it going this summer, the Eagles could consider moving him. Maybe if that was the case, they would look outside of the team, maybe try to make a trade. I don't know if Darby was, you know, if they kind of, you know, what they did with the Bills last year, where they shipped a receiver out and brought in a corner in Darby, and when they traded Jordan Matthews for him, maybe they consider the same thing, doing a corner for tackle swap. I mean, but most teams aren't looking to just give away tackles. But I know where he's getting at. He wasn't saying that they're going to do that, but I think Peters is going to bounce back nicely. He has proven people wrong year after year, considering he's 36 years old, and before the injury, despite being almost 40, he was a top two left tackle in the NFL. So that was interesting. He talked about how Jalen Mills eventually will be a safety when his career is over, which I think is probably realistic as well. You know, when Jenkins and McLeod eventually aren't on the team anymore, they both have big cap hits. Who knows how long they'll be on the team. Mills has played at LSU, and, you know, with Rasul Douglas, Sidney Jones still in the system, and Avante Maddox and Bosby, and maybe they sign Darby back. I'm not going to just throw Ronald Darby completely out of the picture past 2018. I think it's unrealistic to think that he'll be with the team, but it's certainly a possibility. So Mills at safety was really cool to think about. And the one interesting takeaway, considering it's our poll of the day, was that he thinks that this 2018 roster is, you know, skill position wise on offense, is the strongest that it's ever been, which I agree with. And although I think it's the deepest, I'm not sure if it's the most talented, and we'll get to that with our poll of the day. But first, if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast. Locked On Eagles is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So, if you want men that listen to this podcast 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Make sure to email us at lockedoneaglespodcast@gmail.com or at louisdibiase@yahoo.com to find out more. So let's get to our poll of the day, and this one is interesting. It's which Eagles offensive skill position core was more talented? The 2010 team of Michael Vick, DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, a Brent Celek in his prime, who, remember, at the time was a good pass catcher. I know last year and the past few years he's really been almost a sixth offensive lineman, basically helping out Big V wherever he was on the field last year, but he was a good pass catcher. They had LeSean McCoy in his prime, Jason Peters up front, or is it this 2018 team with Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz, Nelson Aguilar, Mike Wallace, you know, the combo of Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement, and Darren Sproles? Right now it's 55% say the 2010 team, 45% say the 2018 team, which is very interesting. And we're not talking about depth, we're talking about talent. So And we're gonna get more into this throughout the week on LockedOnEagles.com, but I think Alshon is a step up from Deshaun, but I think Jeremy Maclin in his prime, and even Jason Avant in the slot, probably has the upper hand on Nelson Aguilar and Mike Wallace. It's very close, but Zach Ertz as well is one of the best tight ends in the NFL, which Brent Celek was never even close to being. And although the Eagles had an all-star, a potential Hall of Fame running back in LeSean McCoy, I don't think that is enough to overtake the Eagles, especially when they have three really good running backs of their own, none of which are at McCoy's level, but Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement, and Darren Sproles combined are one of the most lethal running back cores in the NFL. So that was really interesting stuff. So the poll of the day, which Eagles offensive core was more talented, the 2010 Eagles or the 2018 Eagles? Right now, surprisingly, 55% of you say 2010. So, and actually, we just got another vote in, so it's 50-50. I think it's close. The 2010 team was pretty talented, but I don't know. I think this Eagles team might be the strongest that it's ever been, even more than the 2017 Super Bowl team. That's going to do it for today's Locked On Eagles podcast, June 13th edition. My name is Lou DiBiase, your new host of the Locked On Eagles podcast, The New Wave. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, at DiBiase, L-O-E. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and check us out. We post our articles and pods every day on LockedOnEagles.com, where I just posted my mini camp edition of my depth chart predictions for 2018. Had some interesting things shake up there on the 53-man roster, so go check that out again, LockedOnEagles.com. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for listening, Eagles Nation. Fly, Eagles, fly.